Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is. It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Teron Davenport to the program, brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. TD with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Teron, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful morning it is after a sweep of the Detroit Tigers.
Woo! Yeah, I was hoping this wouldn't come up. How many, do we have more Tigers or Mets fans at this station? I think we have three Tigers fans.
Yeah.
Three Tigers fans?
Well, me, D-Mace, and Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I you know, D-Mace doesn't talk about them too much.
He does not.
So I did not put him in that category. However, okay.
But you and Willie can talk your stuff this week. Now they both basically equally suck on the season, right? Pretty much.
Well, you know what? Ian's a Mets fan, so we're going to...
That's right.
We're not going to cut him out of it.
That's right.
You know, okay. The guy who so swiftly came up with the idea to play meet the Mets.
That's right.
I would have actually thought those two, like, we could be talking, like, about these two in the World Series this year, going into the year. I don't think that anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, look, man, the Dodgers, you know, I don't know if you saw the newsflash that they signed Jesus from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They signed everybody, including
he's coming
him.
In as the closer, yeah. He's going to close it out there. Good stuff. TD, not that this is some huge surprise, but it has upset some Titans fans that we've heard from today. No primetime games for the Tennessee Titans with the schedule coming out. Again, not a huge surprise, but what do you make of back-to-back years, zero primetime games for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, have you checked the record?
I have.
Back-to-back years of 3-14 among the worst teams in the league, and this is what happens. I get it, but the mental gymnastics that a lot of Titans fans go through to be upset about something is just look, your team has to win games in order for you to get prime time. It's just is what it is. Now, did the NFL drop the ball by not having a prime time game, Titans and Ravens, you know, with Derrick Henry, one of the best players in the league, facing his own team, and the rivalry that these two organizations have? Sure. Did they drop the ball not having them play the Giants, you know, a clash of young quarterbacks and Jackson Dart and Cam Ward? Yeah, but it just is what it is, and this is what happens when your team, like, you have to win your way, earn your way into Monday Night Football or any of the primetime games, and unfortunately the Titans, they just haven't done that. We're not in an era, although we're in an era, actually, where you give out, you know, seventh-place ribbons and participation trophies. The NFL, they chose not to do that, and it just is what it is.
So what else about this schedule stands out to you, TD? I look at it and I feel like there's nothing like egregious in terms of, you know, stretches that are brutally hard. Like, it seems like it's kind of balanced, you know, like in terms of teams that at least on paper right now look like, you know, more manageable games. The idle week is nicely more in the middle of the season. You know, it's not like too early. I think that's something that, you know, I know as a team, I think you hate the idea of knowing you got to play like 11, 12 straight weeks to end the season. Anything else about it that stands out to you?
Yeah, well, if you look at it, you got four of your six division games and after the bye, so that's pretty cool. And including, what is it? They got Jacksonville. Is it Jacksonville? I think it is. A home and away.
Two out of three. Yeah.
So you have that. But nothing egregious, nothing difficult. You know, I really think that the schedule is right on course. And I don't think, you know, they have any bad stretches or anything like that. It's a fair schedule. And, I mean, I love the fact that Robert Saleh is opening up his coaching career for the Titans against his former team. That's a nice little bit of drama there, too. So there's a lot of good things on the schedule to me.
Yeah, TD, there's drama in that. And I don't want to make too much of this because it is a week one game. But it is, like, when you look at the Jets' schedule, their first four games are at the Titans, against the Packers, at the Lions, and at the Bears. So if you're the New York Jets, you'd probably better beat the Titans in week one when it comes up, because that's a heck of a run that you've got to start with Aaron Glenn that is already, you know, I mean, you know how that market is, TD. I mean, he's under fire heading into this. So it's a very intriguing week one game from that standpoint, with two teams that have been as bad as those two teams have been.
Yeah, it is. It is. I like the opener there. And in fact, we did a video for our SC for You series, and I picked that as the most important game of the year. And I think it's just being able to go in there. And I mean, this team, they haven't won a season opener since 2020, man.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at that and you look at the 3-14 records, and you know, it's a good opportunity to put the league on notice. Like, hey, wait a minute, man. This is not the same Titans. And that's what I know they're going to be looking to do. And I like that.
So we went through, TD, and we went game by game. I came up 7-10. Robbie, 6-11. Ian, 4-13. Mm. But my question for you is, and I've had this kind of back and forth with a listener in the YouTube chat. Let's say the Titans are, you know, like, what, I guess any of those outcomes, but even if they're like 6 wins, 7 wins, do you think that Brian Daboll is a prime candidate to be plucked away? Or do you think that they need, like they would have to have a better season than that, more winning than that? Obviously, we know, you know, Cam Ward's play is probably the most important thing. But let's say they're like 6-11. Cam Ward takes, you know, a decent step, but not some massive step. Is Brian Daboll still an attractive candidate for other jobs, head coaching jobs?
I think he's going to be a candidate regardless. But a lot of it is going to depend on, even within those wins or within those losses, like if they have a bunch of, you know, 35 to 30 losses, it's like, well, that's not really on Daboll. He had the offense going for the most part, and he should be a hot candidate. But I think it's really important for Daboll, and I feel like he understands that. It's not from conversation with or anything like that. It's just from, you know, knowing how a lot of these guys look at their second go-around. You got to make sure it's the right opportunity, because you're not going to continue to get them over and over and over again. So for me, when I look at this, yeah, I mean, it's going to be good for him to be a candidate, but he has to pick the right job and the right opportunity, and we'll see if that comes about.
TD, what do you think of Cam Ward being on quarterback on Netflix, and what do you make of kind of the class that he's with Jaden Daniels, Joe Flacco, and Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like the idea of him being on. I always love to, you know, see that team get extra attention, because it's good for business, you know. So we'll see, you know, what they captured. The whole crew of quarterbacks, I think it's pretty cool. Like they caught lightning in a bottle, right, with Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this guy, 40 years old, and he made his first Pro Bowl. Of course, you know, he was like the 12th alternate, but still, you know, he got in there. And I think that's pretty cool for him. And I want to see that documented. And I know, you know, Joe Flacco is a guy that's not afraid to speak his mind. So I'm sure there's going to be a good share of soundbites. So I like that. And speaking of not afraid to speak their mind, Baker Mayfield, he's always willing to talk. And then, you know, Jaden Daniels, you know, getting a behind the scenes look at that tough year, you know, after such a great rookie season.
Do you have a favorite schedule release social media submission, TD? I don't know if you'd be able. I mean, I know I haven't been able to watch them all. I've watched a few of them.
Yeah, you know what, man? I've been disappointed by all of them that I've seen. Honestly, I watched the Eagles one, and I got to like week five, and I'm like, this is terrible.
I haven't seen that one.
They had a boardroom table, and they, you know, like they week two, Nashville. And then it's Jordan Davis saying, Cashville, Nashville. And Jordan Mailata's Siri goes off and he throws his phone. And I was like, man, what is this mess? yeah, I didn't like any of them, to be honest. I watched like five of them. No.
You didn't like the Titans one?
No, oh, I didn't man. Like it. It was, to me, it was corny. It didn't do it for me, man.
It does feel like a lot of them are, I kind of enjoy the Titans, but it does feel like, TD, a lot of them are maybe trying a little bit too hard, you know, a little bit too much effort.
There it is right there. There it is. And, you know, no offense to the guys over there. They do a great job. The guys and girls, you know, they do a great job, but I didn't care for that one.
I think they're the best part of the organization, period.
Hey, listen, you say that, but go to that cafeteria and those people in there cooking and serving, man, they're the best part of the organization, man.
All right, TD, before we go, I have to get your thoughts on this. Is Corey Curtis's claim that he doesn't really like Michael Jackson or Prince maybe the worst take of all time?
What? When did this happen?
Yes. It is the worst take of all time. And, you know, I had a subtle meltdown yesterday when that was brought to my attention.
TD, I saw your face on the YouTube link. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I could not believe it. Corey, you lost so many points with me, man.
All right.
So many.
All right. I need the proper context. So, again, he's saying that the music of Michael Jackson and Prince.
He said, I think basically the gist of it was he recognizes that they're very talented, but it's just not really his cup of tea of Michael Jackson or Prince, which may be the first time in human history I've heard anyone say that.
I don't like ice cream, puppies, happiness, rainbows.
Wow. You know, and yeah, it was that blew my mind. Because, you know, like I said, in my meltdown, there isn't a human emotion that they don't have a song to that will relate to it.
Yeah, like
you know
this.
What I mean? The range, there's got to be something in there. You like Human Nature, Billie Jean, Beat It, Insatiable, Diamonds and Pearls, Little Red Corvette, Purple Rain. Like, how
the
could
whole
you
Purple
not
Rain
like
album.
Purple Rain?
I mean, right. If you missed it yesterday, I would encourage you to go back to the YouTube stream and look at TD's face when Jake Lyman brought this up. It's like it was like somebody stole TD's dog from him. Like it's amazing.
Because they basically did.
Like, I can't wait till Monday now so I can yell at Corey about this.
You know, this might be text message worthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might have to shoot him a fire text.
Yeah.
I might have to like harass him the rest of his life.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, it'll never be lived out.
TD, jeez. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
For sure, man. Appreciate you guys. Take care. Hey. Let's go, Mets.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Get that last one in.
It's fair.
Get that last
it's
one
fair.
In. Teron Davenport presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. Corey Curtis's incredible music take that he threw out there as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Little Michael Jackson coming back in.
Got some takes. Now, listen.
I can't wait till Monday.
By the way, your Beatles take is one of the most horrific music takes ever uttered. So let's make sure that we keep that in mind.
Plenty of people agree with my Beatles.
Well, I mean, there's people who would say what Corey said, too.
I've never heard another human being say that.
No, I've heard people. I mean, there's people on the text line right now. Oh, yeah, overrated. Fine. People have bad music takes. But, like, I need to hear Corey's actual words. Like, if you're saying, like, I'm not the biggest fan in the world or whatever, okay, fine. But if it's like, yeah, that music's just not for me at all, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. But we got a lot of good takes. We got texter says, this might be Stilly's number, right? Zero primetime games. The NFL doesn't believe in Cam Ward. It's so obvious. Yeah. Again, would you like Cam Ward to make a difference for you, to make up for the bad football consistently for the small, relatively speaking, the NFL fan base? You'd like that. But I don't think – I'm not looking at the NFL and saying, you don't believe in Fernando Mendoza.
No.
The Raiders have no primetime. And they have a big fan base. They have no primetime games. You don't believe in Fernando Mendoza? No. I mean, you're bad, and you're a small fan base.
Right.
That's it.
That's the – I mean, the 3-14 over the last 2 years, you're a fan base that nationally does not move the needle, right? Like, nationally, people aren't breaking down the door to talk about the Tennessee Titans, right? So, like, we understand that. We've talked a lot about that. That's where this whole thing starts. Like, you start to win football games, and that's going to change. Now, if you have the combination of winning football games and Cam Ward turns into a superstar, well, that's where things really change, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like the quarterback's not important when it comes to, like, national TV. And, you know, we talked about this earlier, like with Netflix and Amazon and all these different streaming companies now getting bought into this. Like, you know, quarterback matchup, team matchup, all those things factor into it now, you know, even more than probably they used to. So you want the perfect combination of being a good team and having a superstar quarterback. If that happens for the Titans, well, guess what? They'll become more of a national draw, right? I mean, look, I understand the Kansas City Chiefs have been around for a long time. It's not like Kansas City is just some huge, enormous national fan base prior to Patrick Mahomes getting there and Travis Kelce burying Taylor Swift, right? But things change when you have superstar players.
Yeah, that's good. But they are interesting because you're right. I mean, obviously the market size, of course, right? One of the smaller markets. I feel like sometimes, you know, I think if you're a really good organization and you can have that consistent success, one, I mean, you know, you just build a really strong, like, everybody in anywhere within hundreds of miles is a huge fan. But I also think you do collect, like, random fans. Like, that happens, right? So that's an interesting one. I would actually love to know, like, where Kansas City ranks, you know, in terms of, like, all the metrics of fans that we look at in the NFL. All those metrics we talked about earlier, Ian was talking about earlier, like, the Titans are at the bottom. They're very close to the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Like, Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh also, not the biggest market, but it's a huge fan base because of going back to the 70s and those probably the greatest teams ever, but – like, you know, that consistent success and the brand and all that stuff and the consistent stability. So they have way outgrown their market, right, in terms of fan base, I would say. And I think the Chiefs probably a little bit too. But you're right. Before this era with Reed, Mahomes, and everything, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd had some good teams. You know, they had Len Dawson ripping darts on the sideline. I mean,
Hank Stram. Back
yeah, sure. Yeah. Matriculate, yep, down the field, et cetera, et cetera. And some good, you know, I mean, I love Christian Okoye. He was great in Tecmo Bowl. But, yeah, like, so if you can find a great player, and, again, I think the Titans were a lot more attractive team in the NFL at large. I mean, we can go back to how many primetime games they got in 01 and 02 and 03 and all that stuff. They had a star at quarterback, and they had a star at running back. And I think general NFL fans wanted to watch them. They don't want to watch the Titans now. Maybe Cam Ward can change that at some point. But to flip it around and say this is about him is goofy as hell.
Yeah, I would agree. And the bottom line is you go win 8-9 games this year if you're the Titans, you'll get a primetime game next year.
Yeah,
you'll get one.
If they think that you're like one of the
ascending
good teams,
yeah.
and can play another good team in a good game,
you'll get one.
Then they like that idea. Right now, they think you get smoked by a good team in a game like that.
Right.
So I don't want to watch that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Weekend winners coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on the program. A standings update in the competition. Ian Safar continuing to just light it up. 4-2 last week with his lock. I went 3-3, no lock. Rex Road 2-4 with his lock, which brings the overall standings. Ian Safar in first place, 35-37 overall, 10-2
dang
on his locks, 45 points. Joe Rex Road 34-38 overall, 6-6 on his lock, 40 points. I am 32-40. 6-6 on my locks, 38 points. Not very good.
Ian, we gotta cool him off.
Cool him off. We begin with the Detroit Pistons trying to avoid elimination, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight in Game 6.
The Cavaliers, a 3.5-point favorite. Ian Safar, you're up first in this selection. Who do we have between the Pistons and the Cavs?
I have faith in my Pistons. They will. They will. I don't know. I think they kind of. I think they win tonight. Force a game seven. So I'm going to take them to at least cover the 3.5.
Okay, going with the Pistons. Joe Rexroad, Cavs favored by 3.5 in this one.
Yeah, fart the Pistons. Cavs win by 10.
No lock. Okay.
No, I'm not locking it, but right. Yeah, Cavs. I don't want to watch the Pistons anymore.
I will take the Cavs as well. I think the Pistons are running out of gas here a little bit. So I will go Cleveland to get it done tonight and cover the 3.5-point spread at home. The San Antonio Spurs taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight as well, also in Game 6. Spurs with an opportunity to close it out. San Antonio a 5.5-point favorite. Joe Rexroad, who do we have in this one?
Yeah, I think they'll it'll be a good game, and it'll go into the fourth, and I think they'll distance themselves a little bit and win by about 8 to 10 points, so give me the Spurs.
I'm also taking the Spurs. I think things close out tonight for them. Bad week to be a Minnesota sports fan. Get the Wild out earlier this week. I think the Timberwolves are going to follow suit tonight, but we'll see. Spurs favored by 5.5. Ian Safar, your selection.
Yeah, 5.5 on the road in an elimination game seems kind of like a high number, so I am going to also take the Spurs.
There you go. There you go. Montreal-Buffalo, game 6 coming up at Bell Center. Montreal got the win last night to take a 3-2 lead in that series, so the Canadiens coming back home for Game 6 with an opportunity to close out the Sabres and move on to the Eastern Conference Final to take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Give me Montreal in this one. I think Montreal is the better team. I think Montreal will win at home, and we will get a Carolina Canadiens Conference Final there. Spicy. Ian, who we got in that matchup?
Yeah, I am also going to take Montreal. I don't feel great about it. I could see this going to a Game 7. But I think we talked about it earlier in the week. Buffalo, this kind of feels like a next step kind of series for them. So I am going to take Montreal to advance.
Joe Rexroad, the Canadiens and the Sabres coming up in Game 6.
We're doing a lot of agreeing here, but I will go a step further. Give me Montreal. Make that my lock.
Guaranteed.
Locking down on the Canadiens at home to close things out in what I'm sure will be a raucous environment at Bell Center up there in Montreal. We move to the individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'll go ahead and get my lock. I'm going to do baseball.
Guaranteed.
Give me the Braves tonight. -1.5 versus the Red Sox. Coming off a loss to Chicago, I think Atlanta is. I think they kind of back to reality against a team that's not so good. I think they'll get a win.
Well, I'll just go ahead and get mine out of the way. Braves -1.5 against the Red Sox as well. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Yeah, that was on my list too. Are we allowed to do that?
Sure, sure.
All right.
It's okay. We've done it before.
That probably means we'll all be wrong.
Yep, yeah. Especially since I locked it.
There you go.
Actually, so yeah. Thanks for that.
I hope we are wrong.
Yeah, you probably did that on purpose. Yeah.
Joe, your second individual selection.
I'll stick with baseball. Cubs, White Sox. White Sox getting 1.5. White Sox suck. I don't know if anybody's ever thought about that or talked about it, but the White Sox suck, so give me the Cubs.
Going with the Cubs, -1.5.
Forever.
Against the White Sox. Give me Tage Thompson in Game 6 for the Sabres. The over-under shots on goal set at 3.5.
Ooh.
Over. He's going to be firing from everywhere in this game. I'll take the over 3.5 shots on goal, and I will make it my lock. Locking down on Tage Thompson in an elimination game. If I was him, I'd just be winding up the whole game. So we'll see what happens on that front. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
All right, I'm going back to the well. Nashville SC, give me a dub at home versus LAFC. This is going to be a tough game. I was thinking draw, but I'm going to be rooting for a win. So give me a win. Good midweek win on Wednesday. Coming back home, I think I'm going to go with the dub.
There you go. I will kick off the final round of individual selections. Even the New York Yankees, -1.5 against the New York Mets. TD just got his shots in on Rexroad with Mets. I think the Yankees, Kuharski, going to get his shots in on TD this weekend. Give me Yankees -1.5 against the New York Mets. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Yeah, so Pistons, Cavs, over under 210.5. I think it's going to be pretty ugly. a mucked up game, and I think that I'm going to go with the under 210.5.
Going under 210.5 in game six. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Yeah, slim pickings here towards the end. Running out of baseball, running out of hockey. What's this hockey not Western Conference not starting till Wednesday, huh?
Yeah, I think they're trying to make sure that the second round's over before they start. So I guess there's technically still a chance for a game seven in the East. So
which would be Monday, and so it kind of gets pushed back. That's a long break for Colorado, huh?
Yes.
And Carolina, for that
matter. Carolina's been sitting there. They could have gone on vacation and come back.
What's Darren York doing? Is he busy?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
You could drive to Nashville and back and still – get back. You can probably run to Nashville and back and get back before the next game starts.
You could explore Broadway to the fullest.
I guess I have to make a pick, huh?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take the over-under on Spurs and T-Wolves, actually.
Okay.
I think I'm going under.
What is it?
Spurs, T-Wolves.
218.5.
218.5. Ian going with the under.
Yeah. These elimination games tend to get a little, you know, tight, perhaps. So that's true. Think I'm going to take the under.
Going under 218.5 for Spurs and the T-Wolves. I did that. I can't remember which game I did that with last week. I was thinking, all right, this could be a little bit of an ugly game. I think it may have been OKC and the Lakers in game three. And I think OKC scored like 144 points in that game. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Awesome. So we'll see. That is weekend winners this week. All of us taking the Braves against the Red Sox. And all of us taking the Montreal Canadiens and the Spurs. A lot of agreement this week.
Yeah. Somehow that'll like still end up going in Ian's favor.
He did. He was the only one that took the Pistons to cover against the Cavs.
And frankly, I mean, you know, I hope you're right. I just don't think you are. Because they stink.
You guys had zero faith last week.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're totally right.
Caleb wondering what's going on with Durin.
Yeah.
We've had several off-the-air conversations about that.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly. I think there is a real thing that goes on sometimes with guys who get numbers, and he's a good player. But talking about a max deal for this guy, and he had a great regular season. It's at this point, it's two full series full of the limitations on full display, averaging 9 points a game. Defensively, he's been awful. He has cost himself so much money in this postseason. I think he has. I mean, I guess we'll find out. But, like, you can't max that guy. I mean, no. There's no way in hell. Paul Reed is flat out better than him and should play. I hope J.B. Bickerstaff plays Paul Reed like 30 minutes tonight. I mean, he's better than Jalen Duren. Sorry. Thanks for getting me going, Caleb.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the show. Coming to the next, more your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. Boxing fans, 1025 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win tickets to see the Nashville Smash take on the Boston Butchers at Municipal Auditorium on Saturday, May the 23rd. 16 rounds, 16 fighters going at it. Text the keyword FIGHT to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. The 615 Open Golf Tournament might be sold out, but you can bid on all kinds of awesome experiences to directly support Folds of Honor at 615open.com/auction. Have an unforgettable time while supporting a great cause. 615open.com/auction. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. One texter does say they'll give the Titans a primetime game next year to highlight the new stadium, regardless of if they're good or not. Maybe. It's like, ooh, new Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think they probably, like, if they go 3-14 this year and, like, Cam Ward's not very good, I don't know that the new Nissan Stadium moves the needle that much. Hey, look at the aerial shot of this indoor stadium. Check it out, guys. And now,
it's gonna be a good
here's the
stadium.
Inside of the stadium. There's the field. I don't know. I don't know that really hits the TV audience.
You know, Buffalo's opening their new stadium this year. The first home game that they have is a primetime game. It's on Thursday Night Football against the Lions.
Mighty Lions.
Now, Buffalo also has Josh Allen, who's a good football team. But
yeah, Buffalo could be playing in a poppy seed field, and they'd probably get some primetime games. So...
Yeah, you think there's a small part of Josh Allen? It was like when they were building this new stadium in Buffalo, it was like, hey, guys, you ever thought about putting this inside? Like, it gets real cold here. The wind's blowing around.
He would never say that, and he is, you know, certainly he's the type of quarterback that probably is fine playing outside because he just likes to play fullback and run people over. But, God, right? Like, when you're him and you're lucky to throw for 120 yards in the driving wind and sleet of a December game, imagining just having a nice 72-degree, windless atmosphere.
I mean, it's a little bit more covered than the last one was, but it's still, I mean, it's an outdoor stadium. Which I'm cool with, by the way. I mean, I appreciate.
Yeah.
Because outdoor stadiums are dying in the NFL. But I do think if you're Josh Allen, it's like, yeah. You know, it's January. It's minus 14 with about 3 feet of snow out here. You think we might be able to get an indoor stadium at some point?
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
From a quarterback's perspective, I get it. But I appreciate the Packers, the Bears, the Browns, the Bengals. The Jets, Giants, Patriots, as opposed to soft ass franchises like the Lions and Vikings, who have to have indoor stadiums.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
One texter on the game to end the season for the Titans, which unless they go off and win the division, will be the final playoff game or final regular season game at Nissan Stadium here before they open the new stadium next year. Says the real problem with scheduling is closing out old Nissan against a team with a traveling fan base. Talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Probably will be a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans in the house. Although if you're a Titans fan, I mean, look, if you're a Titans fan, it's been around, especially since the beginning, right? A lot of nostalgia. Maybe a lot of Titans fans that haven't been in the building in a while that try to get in there for that last one.
No, I have thought about that. It's really interesting with that game because, first of all, as anybody will tell you about that 97 year in Memphis, that was I believe the dominant showing of Steelers fans in Memphis was part of why Bud Adams was like, we're not doing Memphis again. We'll just do Vanderbilt for a year, yep. Right? I think that's what I have been told / have read. So like that, but that's a moment. Anybody who covered the Titans back then, no, like talks about that moment. Like Teresa Walker, PK, Glennon, all of them. Like that day was like, oh God. Like they just took over the place. So in this situation, like especially if the Titans are bad and the Steelers are good this year, it is a kind of a problematic way to close things out. Hopefully they're on somewhat similar footing and it's going to be maybe a little bit more like a bowl game, like a really good bowl game. That's still a good atmosphere. Just don't want it to be a complete Steelers fan takeover to say goodbye to the stadium. And how many Titans fans are going just because they have sentimental feelings for Nissan Stadium and want to be there for the last day?
I think there will be some.
Yeah.
I think there'll be some where that's the case.
I think if their football team is watchable this year, there'll be a lot more.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, look, I think I know plenty of people who used to be season ticket holders who are no longer season ticket holders, but I mean, for a variety of different reasons,
yeah,
that have not been to games in a long time. That I'm sure, you know, whether it's the last one against Pittsburgh or whether it's the second to last one against Indy, whatever it is, they're going to try to find their way in there at that point.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting. Trevor says the Raiders finished their 2019 season 7-9 the following year when they opened their new stadium. They got 4 primetime games. Yeah, first of all, 7-9 is competitive. Second of all, to repeat about the Raiders, they have one of the largest fan bases in the league. So if the Raiders have a whiff of competitiveness, you should expect them to be in primetime a decent amount. I am surprised the Raiders got none this year.
I am too.
Because it's the Raiders. Again, they move wherever and their fans stick with them. I mean, I think when you travel around this country, you start with probably Cowboys fans, Steelers fans,
yep.
But Raiders fans are like right there. They're always around, man. So that's the answer, Trevor. It's not because, hey, let's look at this huge,
giant Roomba.
Yeah, this massive Roomba. Yeah, Roomba. Let's look at the pictures of that again. I mean, it's the Raiders move the needle, typically.
I mean, the Jets don't have any primetime games this year, which even though they're as bad as they are, that still surprises me, given that they're a New York team.
Yeah. But I think there may – I mean, some of it is like when these people are talking about these games and trying to pick games and stuff, I mean, somebody in that room has to be like, The Jets are going like 2-15. Yeah,
guys,
these guys suck. Right?
Yeah.
They're so bad. Like we're signing up for a terrible game. If the other team is an attractive team that we want to watch, that means they're going to beat the Jets by 17, right?
The Titans and the Jets both have almost exclusively noon games. Jets also have two games that start at 3:05. They're both out west. There you go. I mean, at least the Titans, one of them's 3:05 game, and it's in Jacksonville. That's not out west.
No.
They want to save that spicy rivalry for later in the later window. That's what I'm talking about.
And just, I mean, you know how much milkier the pool is at 3 as opposed
to noon? I
agree. You
get that thing cook a little bit down there?
Oh, my gosh. It's like a milkshake.
Yeah, it's going to be something. Let's try to avoid that. Maybe, you know, this year's the year that they develop a, you know, partition in the men's restroom there.
Let's hope so.
A little bit of a covering. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We will be back on Monday morning to break it all down. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save